From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, November 5th. Coming up, it's been over a week since state lawmakers in Springfield wrapped up a busy fall veto session. We'll review what passed and what didn't pass. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. While some Head Start early childhood centers across the country may have to close during the government shutdown, the program's locations in central Illinois are safe for now. Brandy Grants is the Early Childhood Division Director for the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. She says the program has federal funding to run into next year.
We are doing fine. It could just change. It could change depending on how long the shutdown continues. So if it continues through February, then there would be a concern.
The shutdown could also slow down the process for getting future funding. Grants is submitting the application to renew funding this month and will need federal workers to review and award the money. Almost 800 pregnant mothers and kids under five in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties rely on Head Start for free education and childcare. China has reversed course and committed to buy 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans this year, about half of what the Asian giant would normally import. As Harvest Public Media's Will Bauer reports, some farmers are sending their soybeans to be processed domestically, but it's not enough to fill the gap.
In recent years, American companies have built up what are known as crushing facilities to turn beans into oil and meal. There's nearly 70 processors in the U.S., and that number is growing. Still, domestic soybean crushing can't make up for what China isn't buying this year. That's according to economist Tanner Emke with the AgLender CoBank.
China buys traditionally about half the soybeans we export, and we can't replace that amount with domestic usage. It's impossible. Even if we did, we would have a tremendous amount of soybean meal that we need to find a home for.
Emke says farmers in the upper Midwest will be the hardest hit by the trade war. Many will opt to store their soybeans until the markets improve. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Will Bauer.
A Republican running for Illinois' U.S. Senate seat says America's support for Israel's military campaign in Gaza has been, quote, measured and appropriate. Don Tracy is a former chair of the Illinois Republican Party. Speaking on the 21st show, he said the U.S. should continue to support Israel as an ally.
Israel and defending itself and responding to the October 7th Hamas attack, brutal attack, has done a better job of minimizing collateral damage than almost any other warring nation in a war of this consequence.
Tracy praised the Trump administration's involvement in brokering a peace deal. He says it is, quote, absolutely wrong to cause Israel's siege a genocide. Tracy also said the U.S. should continue supporting Ukraine and oppose Russia's invasion of the country. The Republican is running to secede Senator Dick Durbin. Primary elections for Illinois' U.S. Senate seat will be held in March. The Fighting Illini women's basketball team tipped off the regular season with a win against Southeast Missouri State University. Illinois won 91-67, keeping head coach Shauna Green undefeated in the team's season opener. Sophomore forward Barry Wallace recorded a team high of 27 points and 11 rebounds, marking her first collegiate career double-double. Gretchen Dolan and Maddie Weber both scored 16 points while also forcing turnovers to help the Illini climb to a 30-point lead in the second half. Illinois starts the season off 1-0 and will be back in State Farm Center this weekend as they go up against Illinois State University at noon on Saturday. Still to come, it's been over a week since lawmakers in Springfield wrapped up a busy fall veto session. We'll hear more about what passed and what didn't pass. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies and breezy winds with a high of 68 degrees. Southwest wind will become northwest this afternoon, 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 33 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 62 degrees. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a low of 47 degrees. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Friday, a chance of rain in the morning, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 69 degrees, with a southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st show, the Federal Food Assistance Program has run out of money, putting support for nearly 2 million Illinoisans at risk. We'll talk about the broader implications of that for our people and our economy, and hear how officials and One Illinois Food Bank is responding. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st show. Join us.
It's been over a week since state lawmakers in Springfield wrapped up a busy fall veto session. Democrats threw a financial lifeline to the Chicago area's mass transit system that raised tolls and sales taxes. They pushed back against the Trump administration's aggressive immigration enforcement actions, and they moved to allow physicians to prescribe life-ending drugs to terminally ill patients. Melba Lara spoke with Alex Degman the morning after the session ended to break it down.
And Alex, lawmakers seem to get a lot done. You were there to watch it all until the very end. Let's start with what they did to respond to immigration and customs enforcement agents in Chicago and suburban neighborhoods.
Yeah, this is a package that passed entirely on Democratic votes, and Governor J.B. Pritzker is expected to back it, too. One by one, you saw Latino lawmakers get really emotional about what they call the living hell that they're living through with their constituents. I mean, people are getting pulled out of cars, people are putting off medical care, huddling in their basements, and they're seeing their neighbors get tear gassed a lot. So this bill gives detainees and protesters the ability to sue federal agents and collect punitive damages if their rights are getting violated. It also sets up a 1,000-foot safe zone around courthouses. So that's where ICE agents couldn't make arrests, and instructs hospitals, daycare centers, and schools to put together some protocols to deal with federal agents who want to come on their property.
And Alex, how likely is it that this is going to stand up to any legal challenges from the Trump administration?
Well, that's the big question, right? That's exactly what Republicans wanted to know, and they all voted against it. And there's also the obvious question of who would enforce this? Who would make sure federal agents aren't detaining people inside that 1,000-foot radius, and what would they do? Also, how would someone actually sue ICE if this becomes law? What's the mechanism there? Senate Republican leader John Curran predicted that this is going to be something that is probably going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and get struck down. And Senate President Don Harmon is one of the people that negotiated this package along with the House Speaker. And Harmon said, yeah, this could reach the nation's high court. But he said he and a lot of people are watching what ICE is doing in the area. And they felt like they had to try. They had to do something to protect people.
And lawmakers also took some steps to avert major service cuts and layoffs at the CTA, Metra, and PACE, and to finally address a fiscal cliff that's facing those public transit agencies. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, this is one that came down to the wire, and it's going to make trips on tollways and retail purchases in Chicago and the suburbs a little more expensive. And that's because the package included a quarter percentage point increase in sales taxes in Cook and the Collar counties to help fund transit, and a 45-cent toll hike to help fund a modernization program for the tollways, and a diversion of sales taxes on gasoline to fund mass transit. And this is all expected to raise about $1.5 billion for transit statewide, and that includes almost $130 million for systems outside the Chicago metro area. Now, I should note that the hike in tolls would take effect in 2027, and this would be the first toll increase for passenger vehicles since 2012. And once Governor Pritzker signed this, which he is expected to do, tolls would be set to go up every 2 years by the rate of inflation, capped at 4%.
And Alex, before I let you go, I know this time of year at the state capitol, it's a flurry of activity and very late nights. What else passed or didn't pass?
Yeah, the Senate barely passed a measure offering medical aid in dying for terminally ill people. Bills need 30 votes to pass in the Senate, and that's exactly what it got. So at a patient's request, doctors could prescribe medication to end the person's life. They'd have to take it themselves, and there is an extended process that a patient needs to go through with their doctor. If Pritzker signed this, Illinois would be the 12th state to allow it. A big package that the governor, environmentalists, and labor leaders wanted would promote battery storage in Illinois and more green energy initiatives. But Republicans and manufacturers said that's going to lead to higher energy costs. That also passed. As for what didn't happen, Pritzker and state leaders have been complaining about huge casualty insurance premium increases by companies like State Farm. The Senate passed a bill making insurers give consumers a two-month notice if they're going to give double-digit premium hikes, but the insurance industry ended up killing that in the House. Washington Democrats want Illinois Democrats to redraw the state's congressional boundaries because Republicans are doing that in other states. That didn't go anywhere this week. And crickets for the Chicago Bears and their bid to get state financial help to build a new stadium. They're punting that to the spring. Get it?
That's terrible.
That was Mel Bolara speaking with Alex Degman about the end of the fall legislative session. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Will Bauer, Arjun Tucker, Jonathan Matthew, Alex Degnan, and Mel Bolara. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.